Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, September the 17th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to show us the way each day, to reveal to us the events that are taking place so that our hearts might be strengthened in our faith to you. We ask today that you would give us continued strength as we grow in grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've received some inquiries about what the Adventist Church is doing in places like the Bahamas, and I want to assure you that there are those in all parts of the leadership of the world, in our church, who are doing everything they know how to do in order to help those who have suffered greatly. But there's an article that I'd like to share with you found in the Adventist News Network. And that is, of course, the official news service of the Seventh-day Adventist World Church. This article goes back a bit. It was published back on September the 5th, 2019. The writer of the article is Libna Stevens. That's L-I-B-N-A, Libna Stevens, S-T-E-V-E-N-E-S. And the title of the article is "In the Bahamas, Adventist Church Accounting for Members After Hurricane Dorian." The title again, "In the Bahamas, Adventist Church Accounting for Members of the Adventist Church After Hurricane Dorian." Here's the article. Now, of course, before they begin the article, they give you a picture of a church, one of the main churches in Freeport. It's a damaged Freeport Adventist Church in Freeport, Grand Bahama, after Hurricane Dorian battered the island. And of course, you know, the hurricane was there for more than 30 hours. The church, they say, has a membership of 1,117 members. At the time, it was being used as a shelter when the roof and the walls of the fellowship hall began to fall apart. There's also a school nearby, and church properties have yet to be assessed for damages. Let me read the article for you here. Seventh-day Adventist leaders in Nassau, the Bahamas, are still waiting to know the fate of the hundreds of members who have been affected by the devastating effects of Hurricane Dorian on the hardest-hit island of Abaco, Grand Bahama, Bimini, and Berry Islands. The Category 4 hurricane pounded the northern Bahamas for over 40 hours starting on September the 1st, packing winds of over 185 miles per hour, flooding the islands, stranding residents, and killing at least 7 people. "This is something for the record book," says Peter Kerr, president of the church in the Atlantic Caribbean Union, during a phone interview today from the union's headquarters in Nassau. "We have never seen anything close to this before," says Kerr, who oversees work of the church in the Bahamas, Cayman Islands, and Turks and Caicos. "Hurricanes have come and made their path and moved quickly out of the way, but this one had trapped us for more than 40 hours, sitting on Grand Bahama for over 30 hours," said Kerr. "So far, leaders are trying to account for their members, but communication is difficult, especially in the Abaco Island, north of Nassau, where 5 churches and a membership of more than 900 are located. We know there are 3 churches, one in the north and 2 large churches in the center of Abaco, which is in Marsh Harbor, and those are completely cut off from the south of the island, where 2 more churches are." Kerr said leaders had made contact with a church member in South Abaco, who had been busy assisting with relief efforts. However, rising waters had made it impossible to get to other affected areas in the north of the island, he explained. "One church elder on the island, who is president of our union's Adventist Layman Services and Industries, owns a school, and another member operates another school on the island." "On Grand Bahama, the stories have been so painful to hear," said Kerr. "Makes me want to cry," he said. "The number of people who have been trapped on their roofs for so many hours and only to be rescued after the storm left. It's just so sad. Church leaders have yet to receive assessment concerning the reports from that area. Only today, Kerr was able to hear from the union's Adventist Development and Relief Agency, that's ADRA, Director Roger Moncur, who lives in Freeport, Grand Bahama. He's doing assessment of the territory as much as he can right now, says Kerr. The North Bahamas Conference is headquartered in Freeport, and we know that the office is completely flooded, as well as our Grand Bahama Academy, a K-12 Adventist school with over 200 students, said Kerr. The church next to the school was being used as a shelter, and it's flooded as well, he explained. There are 7 churches with over 3,000 members on Grand Bahamas, church leaders reported. Assessment of the status of church members and church buildings will only be available once assessment of the damages will be possible when accessible. ADRA International personnel is scheduled to arrive in Nassau tomorrow and will coordinate efforts in the church's union office to bring first aid and relief supplies to victims of the hurricane. The National Emergency Management Agency of the Bahamas has asked the Adventist Church to supply baby and children's clothing, says Kerr. We are undertaking this task and seeking the assistance that we can get to prepare the packages as much as we can, says Kerr. Our local churches are mobilized to support the efforts. I know churches are spending their own funds to procure supplies for relief efforts. One of the urgent needs is money, says Kerr. Our main goal is to supply drinking water, food, and provide shelter, clothing, and tents for those who have lost everything, says Kerr, who is looking forward to touring these affected areas in the Bahamas as soon as it is possible. The Prime Minister has asked Bahamians to take in displaced families during this critical time. We are creating a database of Adventist members who are able to make space in their homes to assist additional church members who have no place to stay, says Kerr, who has already signed up to bring a family into his home. In the meantime, Kerr said church leaders have met to discuss the logistics and the challenges and opportunities that are inherent therein. We plan to activate our soup kitchens and coordinate to send supplies over to the folks so soup kitchens can operate until they have supplies on the ground. We're looking to send toiletries, beds, sleeping cots and sleeping tents, mosquito repellents, nets and generators for schools and churches to function. Today, as the South Bahamas Conference located in Nassau, church members are gathering supplies and putting together care packages. We're confident our God, whom we serve, remains our refuge and strength. He is our present help in trouble. He is the rock on which we stand, and he remains our shelter in the time of storm, says Pastor Kerr. The encouragement pouring in from everywhere has been so reassuring, he said. We are comforted by the fact that so many people have been praying for us and have been calling and sending messages of comfort. Many of our inter-American divisions and unions have pledged their support in the restoration and rebuilding efforts. We are not alone. We are part of a big family and feel loved and supported at this time. To help the church membership affected by Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas, you can send your financial contribution to the Inter-American Division, payable to the Inter-American Division, Hurricane Dorian Relief. And that's the end of that article. Of course, you see the help that is already going forward, and they have spent much time already assessing some of the damage, because remember that article I read for you just now was published back on the 5th of September. By now, there is much help that has begun on its way, in spite of the fact that there are many members who have lost everything, lost their homes, lost everything. Another article that I'd like to share with you, also found in the Adventist News Network website. And as I said before, this is the official news service of the Seventh-day Adventist World Church. Now, this article has to do with those coming across the southern border from South America. You know, quite often we perhaps are not aware of the fact that some of those coming across the border are members of the church in South America. And we're not particularly going to deal with that today, but I'm surely deal with that in the future, because there are members of the church in South America who have difficult times. And it is because the South American landmass is about 89 to 90% Catholic. And quite often, those neighborhoods who are devoted Catholics have celebrations on the weekend. And sometimes the Adventist churches do not, or the Adventists who live in the neighborhoods do not work along with the neighborhood to do their celebrations. And quite often the record says that there are many of those people in that neighborhood who get angry at these Adventist people. And so they come to the church and break into the church and attack the people and chase them out. And not only do they chase them out of the church, but then they tell them that if they cannot comply with what is happening in the neighborhood, they need to leave the area completely. This has happened in Mexico. It's also happened in some other parts of South American continent. But today I want to take a look at what the Adventist Church has been doing at the border to assist those who are coming across the border. And so in an article published on July the 14th, 2019, the title of the article is Stepping Forward to Help During the U.S. Border Crisis. The title again, Stepping Forward to Help During the U.S. Border Crisis. Here's that article. As was reported by the Los Angeles Times, the way that a Seventh-day Adventist church in Blythe, California, has addressed community needs is by setting up a shelter at their church. The church, which started helping the homeless in 2018, has been doing this for several months, and local Adventist Community Services disaster response leaders have requested assistance. The city of Blythe has been taking in refugees during the last 3 months, reported W. Derek Leah, the ACSDR director. Intricately involved in this activity has been the Blythe Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. First, the local church was assisting Riverside County with temporary housing for families that were being housed in California after crossing into the U.S. The county asked if organizations would provide lodging while it was determined where the people would be sent on a more permanent basis. The Blythe Church volunteered to be one such place of refuge. The church reported that at the height of this arrangement, they were inundated with upwards of a couple of hundred people at any given time. This brought challenges to the church, which was not equipped to adequately handle crowds of this capacity. The church tried to meet the needs with local church resources, said Lee. After the church work was publicized, the conference learned of the congregation's role. The Southeastern Conference, California Conference, became aware of some of these needs and reached out to the North American Division. Since that contact, we have offered support and communicated to them about what assistance we might have. In a discussion with Leah, the county liaison revealed that the flow of refugees had been stopped as the federal government placed a hold on people coming from the shelters and was now holding them in Mexico. As of July the 7th, no one knows for certain what will happen after the hold is lifted, but the expectation is that the flow will soon again take place. The county is hoping that the Blythe Church will continue to help. The situation in Blythe is fluid. Leah shared that the ACSDR will meet this week with the conference to determine next steps. Additionally, the church groups has requested we meet with them to ascertain how they can better meet the needs of the community, he said. The state liaison asked to be involved in the conversation to better ensure things are in place to provide consistent effort support. The state has even offered some funding should we be able to provide a usable facility. Texas is another location where local church members and ACS personnel have been making a difference. ACSDR union directors have reported that ACS already has been made two trips down to MacArthur, delivering needed items such as clothing and comfort kits to those in need. Since these deliveries, the voluntary organization active in disasters has asked if ACS could deliver additional goods to this area. The Southwestern Union reached out to the North American Division as their resources were exhausted. Within the week, we were able to approve some financial support for the union, and items were ordered for another delivery to the border. In addition to this support, we sent out a request for certain needed items throughout the division. Because many conferences have inquired as to how they could be of support, this has created a ready-made opportunity for them to be involved in the work in the weeks ahead. The North American Division will continue to look for how we can support these efforts as things continue to go forward. So I want to assure you that those churches in that part of the nation, in the southern area of the United States of America, have taken up their responsibilities to go forward and to assist as best they can those who are in need of help. And the North American Division has also joined hands and to do as much as they can. Also, ADRA has become quite involved in the assistance that is necessary in that part of the world. This church of yours is known for its involvement in meeting the needs of those who are indeed in serious need. And sometimes we are not aware of the fact that we personally have the same responsibilities. We may not necessarily need to spend large amounts of money in order to assist, but where we can, we should help those who we see, and it is obvious, are in need. In every case, as you look at the Word of God and you see the narrative concerning Christ's life on this earth, you'll realize that his first concern was the needs of those who were around him. He always helped those who were in need of help. He did not preach first. He helped first. And if we are indeed going to be the followers of Christ, our first and primary objective must be to assist those in need of help. We may not need to go to the southern border in order to do that. We may not need to take a flight down to the Bahamas to do that. But there are those who are around us who are in need of assistance. And if you can, you must. Because this is perhaps going to be your strongest testimony about who God is. Quite often we pass by like the priest and the Levite on the other side. Perhaps we should take an example from the Samaritan and do for strangers that which they cannot do for themselves. God has given us an opportunity time and time again to be of assistance to those who are around us. Why not ask God to lead you to someone today? Give them some assistance. As I said before, we're not demanding that you give them money. They might be in need of you helping them to lift something or giving them a word of encouragement or perhaps, would you believe, just a smile? If you would do this, you never know what the Holy Spirit will lead that person to do. They might be able to recognize in you the character of Christ being played out in their presence. God is calling you to be His representative. If we're truly going to represent Him, then we have to represent Him based upon the things that He does and the things that He would do. Let us continue to pray for our brothers and sisters who are reaching out to help those who are in the Bahamas and in other parts of the world who are in need of help. And as I said before, you can send the little that you have to assist. It doesn't have to be large gobs of money. Perhaps in a case like this, you always must remember the widow's mite and the blessing that a mite can have if it is blessed by the power of God. So today as you go forward, ask God to show you how you might be able to help. And then follow His leading as He goes forth to lead. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to show us the path that is before us. We thank you that your Son has given us the example in His life on this earth as to what kind of representatives you would have us be. Today, as we go forward, we ask that you would continue to guide us in the path of righteousness so that we might truly represent you in every detail In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, September the 17th, 2019.